Our series this particular Advent season is The Reasons That Christ Came. And we're taking the great I have come passages out of the New Testament where Jesus says, I have come, or the Son of Man came for some reason or another. And we're looking at these one by one. Today we look at Luke 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see, for Jesus was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today, salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The word of the Lord. Our text is our title. Our text and our title is our theme. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save the lost. One of those summary statements Jesus often gives after either a parable or a particular miracle or an event in his life. He will sort of give us a tagline, a summary, a thesis of what it's all about. Earlier in this chapter, the chapter just before, Jesus had been dealing with his disciples and he had called them aside and he said, I'm going up to Jerusalem and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise. What could be more clear than that? Jesus talking to his disciples, explaining what is going to happen to him in the very near future. That he was going up to Jerusalem. There he was going to be arrested and arraigned. He was going to be punished and flogged. And he was going to be crucified and buried. And then he would rise. If we heard that word, we'd say, Amen, that's the gospel. But listen to Jesus' disciples. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. That's why Jesus over and over had to be very insistent on explaining why he came to the earth, why he left heaven's glory, why he left his co-eternal position that he had with the Father as equal with the Father in every way and one with the Father, and how he had to leave that status of the glories of heaven and take upon himself humanity, come as a little babe in Bethlehem and undergo all of the trials and rigors of living a human life, be an infant, a child, an adolescent, a young adult, and all of the troubles and the trials and the difficulties that come through those growing years, and how he had to learn obedience through the things that he suffered, and how he had to take upon himself the sorrows and the limitations of humanity. And then, eventually, suffer the things that he had described to his disciples, his passion, his demise, his death, and then the resurrection. But they didn't understand it, so Jesus just kept on going. He explained these things to them when they were near Jerusalem, and he now takes a little trip down to Jericho. Now, a few weeks ago, we had a little story about a man that went from Jerusalem to Jericho. You remember the story about the Good Samaritan? Well, here we have now, we're back on the old Jericho Road. And the Jericho Road was a descending road. It descended from the hill country of Judea where the Mount Zion, Jerusalem was, down toward the river valley of the Jordan River. You remember when God's people came into the land of Canaan, one of the first places they came as they came across the Jordan was to Jericho, when the walls came a-tumbling down. You remember the story. Now, hundreds of years have passed, and Jericho has been rebuilt against the commandment of the Lord, by the way. They were not supposed to rebuild Jericho, but one of the kings of Israel did. And Herod and others had built it up, and Jericho was a magnificent city, primarily because it was kind of the gateway from the east and the Saudi Arabian area and the Syrian area and down to the Gulf of Aqaba and those places. It was kind of a commercial gateway into the land of Judea. And as such, there was a lot of trade that went through there, and it was a tax-collecting haven. And one word in the New Testament, one time it's used, it's called the chief tax collector. And that's who Zacchaeus is. He's not just an old average, everyday, run-of-the-mill, ordinary neighborhood tax collector. He is the chief tax collector. Everybody knows who Zacchaeus is here in this prosperous city of trade and taxation. And now Jesus has entered Jericho. There's a beautiful story we don't have time for this morning, but as he came to the beginning of the gates of Jericho and approached into the city, he was met by a blind man, and Jesus healed the blind man. And the blind man went away joyfully testifying, and the people were applauding and lauding the Lord. And Jesus said to the blind man, said, "Your faith has made you whole." And then the scripture says, as he entered Jericho and was passing through Jericho, so there was kind of a via, a way that led, a boulevard, main drag, as we would say, coming through Jericho. And the word was that Jesus was coming. The miracle-working Christ was coming. It would only be a few short days when Jesus would enter Jerusalem, triumphantly coming through the main gate of Jerusalem. And he would be greeted by the throngs of people who would say, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." But here Jesus is. There is a building of a crescendo of his popularity and his notoriety, and he is entering into Jericho. And as he comes into Jericho, as the parade begins to move down the street, this chief tax collector, Zacchaeus, says, "I want to see Jesus." Something about the hungering and the longing of a heart who said, the Bible says here, he was rich, and yet he still had some longing. He still had some need unfulfilled. There seemed to be something in his life money could not buy. And he was seeking to see Jesus. And because he was short of stature, he knew he couldn't oversee the throng. And so he decided to move to a place where he knew the parade would pass by. And he got in a sycamore tree. And the Bible says that as Jesus passed by, Jesus was not going to miss Zacchaeus. I don't care if he was 4 foot two and behind a crowd of 14, 6 foot four men. Jesus was not going to miss Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was one of those people that Jesus had already marked out in his soul. "I have come to seek and to save that which was lost." He had just sought and saved the blind man. Jesus is on a mission to come and to seek and to save the lost. Where does that language come from? The notion of something and someone that's lost. Well, it had already happened earlier in Jesus' ministry. Jesus had sat down to eat with some other tax collectors and sinners, and the people had grumbled and complained and said, He has... fellowship with tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus said to those people on that occasion, "The physician comes to those that are sick. The whole have no need of a physician. But I have come to those who are lost." And he gave up three stories of lost people. He talked about a lost coin, that a woman swept the house every square inch until she found her lost coin, and she rejoiced. And he told the next story about a lost sheep, how that a shepherd went to seek a lost sheep and left the others in the fold. And when he found that little lost lamb, he rejoiced. And then he told the story about a lost son who had left his father and was not only lost geographically, but was really lost spiritually and emotionally. and had lost in his relationship and had lost in his stature and had lost in his reputation and lost everything you could think. And he was restored. And the Lord says, I've come to seek. See, that's what's beautiful. Some people think the Lord's just standing there saying, come if you'd like. I've heard many an invitation that's given like, well, the Lord's done all he can do and he's up here. If you'll just come and receive him. But oh, that's not what the Bible tells us about our Lord. It says he comes to seek and to find. He leaves the 99 in the fold. He goes over hill and dale. He goes into the highways and into the hedges. He looks for that soul, that one lost sheep, to find them. Zacchaeus did not need to climb up in that sycamore tree. That was his own efforts and his own works. And as soon as he could, the Lord said, hurry up and get down out of that tree. You don't need to stay in the place of your own efforts. The Lord is going to find you. That language comes out of the Old Testament, a very beautiful passage out of the prophecy of Ezekiel. Let me read a portion of it for you. It comes from chapter 34. And overall, the Lord is dealing with the shepherds and the leaders of Israel and how they have failed. But listen to what the Lord says that by way of remedy. Ezekiel 34. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on days of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines in the inhabited places of the countryside. And I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. They shall lie down in good grazing land and rich pasture, and they shall feed on the mountains. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost. I will seek the lost. And I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy, but I will feed them on righteousness. By the way, Zacchaeus' name comes from the Hebrew word tzaddik, which means righteous or just. He wasn't righteous or just in any sense in his own works and in his own life. But the Lord came to fulfill his name and to save him and to make him just that. Listen to that passage as it continues in Ezekiel. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey. I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. Can you see the great prophecy of the Lord saying, I myself will seek and find the lost? No wonder Jesus said on another occasion, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Zacchaeus was a lost sheep if there ever was one. Oh, he was a Jew. He was a child of Abraham. But he was as far from God as he could be. He was breaking every commandment in the book. He was living off of a studied and career disobedience of the 10th commandment. Thou shalt not covet. Envy, avarice, and larceny filled his soul on a daily basis. And he derived his living and had become rich by violating the commandments that God had given repeatedly in the Old Testament of how you were to deal justly and righteously with people. And he had defrauded and swindled. He was lost. The interesting thing about people that are really lost, it's easy for them to know they're lost and to know they need a Savior. One of the problems, we who are self-righteous, and that's been my besetting sin if I understand my own heart, is I've always had a holier-than-thou attitude toward others. Sometimes it's because I was holier than they were, but it's sometimes, most of the time, it's simply been because it's just my mindset. The problem with the people who look down upon the lost and the down and out is that they have just as hard a heart, just as impervious to the voice of God. It was the tax collectors, it was the prostitutes, it was the people who were afflicted with limitations such as blindness and withered arms and lame and illnesses and had been vexed throughout their life with some infirmity that had come to see Christ for who He was. Jesus Himself said, it's good news to the poor and to the afflicted and to the downcast and the outcast. And that's really what Zacchaeus was all about. He was the outcast. And Jesus, seeing Zacchaeus, told him to hurry and come down. And I love the way the text says here, this is just a beautiful story. It said, he came down joyfully. He hurried and came down and received Christ joyfully. What was there is that joy of sins forgiven. That deep thrill of knowing that no matter what you have done, no matter how many commandments you have broken, no matter where you have strayed, no matter what you have done, that there's the open arms of love, tenderness, and forgiveness in Christ. That He, like the father of the story of the prodigal son, is waiting, looking, seeking, longing for you to come home. And Zacchaeus saw in Jesus' face the forgiveness of sin. And all of a sudden, he felt 6'5". He knew. And he blurted out in front of everybody, Lord, he stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. That's the declaration of a repentant man. People don't shake loose of half of their net worth unless they've been changed radically from the inside out. But he immediately realized he knew the Old Testament law because the Old Testament law didn't put people in prison. There's no incarceration found in biblical law, by the way, except just momentary detainment in order to be judged. The idea of imprisonment is pretty much of a pagan notion, by the way. I know I'm not preaching now, just meddling. But if we study the Bible carefully, what is the biblical answer for crime? It is restoration. Restore it. The criminal doesn't serve time in jail. The criminal is obligated under some severe supervision to restore that which he has taken. That's the law on theft, and that's exactly what Zacchaeus said he would do. He would say, not in order that he might be saved, not in order that the Lord might forgive him of his sins, but because his sins had been forgiven. And now with a light and joyful heart, he wants, he desires, he declares, he stood and declared, said, I will give half of my goods to the poor and I will restore fourfold those that I have destroyed it. The Lord renders a judgment. You know, the Lord has the judgment. All judgment's been given to the Son, and the judge drops the gavel and renders the verdict on this. Today, salvation has come to this house. The Lord knows conversion when He sees it. The Lord knew that Zacchaeus, with his whole heart and with his faith, had been made whole, not just of a physical ailment, but a deep spiritual ailment, a deep-seated sin, his wicked depravity had been remedied. And Jesus declares, you're a saved man. You're a saved man. I've come to seek and to save the lost. Zacchaeus, you were a lost man. Zacchaeus, I sought you. Zacchaeus, I have saved you. And then he looks to those people who have the narrowed and accusing eye. and says to them, he too is a son of Abraham. Oh, he was a sinful man, but he's a son, a child of the promise. God kept his promise to Abraham when he saved Zacchaeus. He said, I will bless you. And the way the blessing of the Lord comes is through his salvation. Jesus himself is the fulfillment of the blessing of Abraham. I will bless you. Do you have any sense in your life that you are lost? Or have you been so self-satisfied and self-gratified and self-unaware that you think you don't need a Savior? What's been the story of your life? The Lord seeks and he saves the lost. You know what? I don't think anybody's ever going to be saved unless they're first lost. Do you understand your lost condition? Do you know yourself to be lost, helpless, hopeless, incapacitated? Are you still seeking and finding your own way? Do you still think that there's something in your life that has some desert, some merit for the grace of God? I love what Pete said a few moments ago when we were coming to the confession, when he talked about the condition of the earth before the flood, is every thought was always, continually, only evil. Four ways the Lord tells us about our depravity. We're all depraved. We're depraved completely. We're depraved always and forever, hopeless in that depravity. But there's a little phrase that just follows up there in the narrative. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that's the way salvation always is. It's by grace through faith in Christ. That's why Jesus came. Oh, he described what was going to take place. He was going to suffer. He was going to be flogged. He was going to be crucified. He was going to be buried. But then he was going to rise on the third day. That's the gospel. Why did Jesus come? Why did he undergo the ordeal of life and crucifixion? He did it for just one reason. Poor, pathetic people like Noah, not like me and like you.